move on to the director's report then. Good morning, commissioners. I'll start with a few federal level updates. There are actually a couple of hopeful signs of bipartisanship in Congress right now. The first is that the Senate is currently working on the fiscal year 18-19 federal appropriations bill. In recent years, Congress has often been unable to arrive at consensus on new spending bills and has just authorized what's called a continuing authorization of the budget, which basically rolls forward the prior year's spending plan. This year, however, the Senate is considering a spending bill for Health and Human Services. Both the majority and the minority leadership have agreed to put forward a bipartisan bill that is free of any controversial policy riders. The measure in its current form rejects any cuts in social services block grants, such as CDBG, SSBG, and LIHEAP, and also rejects the administration's proposal to significantly cut the Workforce Investment and Innovation Act. So that is all good news for us. The Senate intends to send the bill to the House and also urge the lower chamber to accept their bipartisan measure, so we'll hope that that happens. Also in Congress right now, the Farm Bill, which authorizes the SNAP, or here in California, CalFresh program, is moving forward. The Farm Bill is also always a very controversial measure. Oftentimes, Republicans in Congress recommend very deep cuts to the SNAP program. That's been no exception this year. But the House and Senate conferees have been named to resolve differences between the House and Senate measures. The Senate measure is actually quite good. It doesn't make any cuts to the program, and includes a few modest improvements, whereas the House measure would restrict benefits significantly and reduce funding over the next decade. So we are hoping that the Senate version, which has bipartisan support, will be the one to move forward. So we'll be watching that closely. And then finally, at the federal level, I just want to provide what's become a standing monthly update around the issue of public charge. And just as a reminder, public charge is a legal term in immigration law that's used to describe someone who is anticipated not to be able to support themselves economically in this country, as indicated by the fact that they are receiving public assistance. Some months ago, there was a leak to a federal rule change that would greatly expand the scope of public charge. So currently, only cash assistance, so the CalWORKS program, for example, and long-term institutional care, those are the only types of public assistance that lead to a designation of public charge. But the leaked rule would have greatly expanded other types of safety net benefits that would count as public charge. And of greatest concern to us, of course, would be the SNAP or CalFresh program, as well as the Medi-Cal program, but also other programs like public housing, early Head Start, and so forth. We don't know yet when the final rulemaking will be released, but we know that it's making its way through the internal administration process, and we're expecting that it will be released sometime before the November election, perhaps as soon as early September. So we've been working very closely with other city partners, including the Office of Civic Engagement and Immigrant Affairs and community advocates, to try to prepare our response as a city if and when that rulemaking is released. So we want to make sure that we can very quickly get information out to the community to try to counteract any chilling effect that that rule change is likely to have on immigrants who are in need of safety net benefits. So that's an issue that we will again keep you apprised on to make sure that we are doing all we can to ensure that people don't disenroll from benefits out of a sense of fear about how it might affect their immigration status. Moving on now to a few state updates, I just want to update you quickly on two bills that are being sponsored by CWDA, our statewide association. Two bills in recent weeks moved off of what is called the suspense file. Suspense is when you have a bill that has a significant cost to implement. They go on suspense so that they can be considered. Many bills never move off of suspense due to cost implications, but two CWDA bills did move forward recently in the process. One is AB 2043. This is a child welfare bill that would create a California coordinated response system modeled on successful systems in other states. And what this would basically be is a 24/7 hotline that children and youth in the foster care system or their caregivers could call if they were experiencing emotional, behavioral, or other difficulties that were overwhelming to the family and that threatened to disrupt care. And upon receiving one of those calls, the county would then be required to dispatch a mobile response team 24/7 to go in, assess the situation, and offer whatever additional support they can to the family. So we're pleased that that's moving forward. The second bill, also sponsored by CWDA, is AB 2111. This is a bill, actually, that I'm pleased to say the idea for this legislation originated here in San Francisco. We proposed this legislative idea to CWDA. And what this would do is change the rules about how long immigrants can receive CalWORKs benefits, CalWORKs cash assistance. So right now, if you have a sponsored immigrant family who claims indigence, meaning they say that their sponsor in this country is no longer providing them with financial support, that family can receive CalWORKs benefits for 12 months, but after 12 months, they would be discontinued. This bill would allow for that, what's called the indigent exception, to be extended beyond the 12 months so that that family could continue to receive cash assistance. This would bring the CalWORKs rules in line with the CalFresh rules. So another positive law change that's potentially moving forward. It would be, well, county eligibility workers would be the one reviewing the family's application, making that determination. Okay, moving on now to just a couple of local updates. Of course, Mayor London Breed has now been in office for a couple of months. Over the last few weeks, she announced a number of staffing appointments in her office, but I would say the office is still very much in transition mode at this point. The mayor's designated chief of staff has not started in that role yet and won't be taking that role on until November. So things are still very much in transition mode. I'm guessing that many of you saw yesterday's newspaper announcement that the city's longtime public health director, Barbara Garcia, has resigned from her role. Her resignation was quickly followed by a statement from the mayor's office thanking her for her years of service and announcing that a new search for a public health director would begin immediately. So we'll be, of course, very interested to see who that is, given how closely we partner with the Department of Public Health. And then finally, shortly after taking office, Mayor Breed convened a one-day policy summit, bringing together community stakeholders across a number of different service areas. That group put forth in writing a number of policy priorities and recommendations, which were then distributed to city departments, including HSA, to respond to in writing, describing what we are already doing that addresses those different policy priorities. And so we are working on that written response now, and we'll be submitting it next week to the mayor's office. Okay, moving on to program updates. Disaster preparedness. So just a reminder that HSA is the lead agency in what's called Emergency Service Function 6, which is provision of mass care and shelter during a major citywide disaster. And so we try to keep regular opportunities available to staff to exercise our disaster response capabilities. And we'll be participating next month in something called the Yellow Command, which is actually a statewide exercise involving, led by the statewide Department of Emergency Services. And it'll be an opportunity here in San Francisco to mobilize city actors from across the different departments, including HSA, to focus on standing up a shelter in the event of a major citywide disaster. So we'll have quite a few staff participating in that exercise. September 6th. We'd be happy to share additional information with you, Commissioner. Okay, other program updates. So first, for CalFresh and Medi-Cal programs, effective September 1st, we are going to be implementing something called the CalFresh Work Rules for Able-Bodied Adults Without Dependents. I'll actually be giving a more detailed presentation later on the agenda, so I won't say too much about that now. I will say that we held a community forum on this policy change last month, and I wanted to publicly thank Commissioner Yamasaki for attending that event. Also, on the Medi-Cal side, during the next 2 months, we will be undergoing several audits of both the Medi-Cal and the CalFresh programs. The first is scheduled in mid-September. It's an annual state management evaluation review of the CalFresh program. So CDSS, the State Department of Social Services, will be on site conducting that review. The second is the CalFresh single audit, which is a federally required review that will be conducted by the City Controller's Office. And they'll be looking at the appropriateness of our federal claiming of CalFresh dollars, as well as our administration of CalFresh eligibility rules and our CalFresh employment and training contracts. And then finally, sometime during the final quarter of 2018, our Medi-Cal eligibility review process will undergo a review by the State Department of Health Care Services. So I think by the end of December, we will be all audited out on the CalFresh and Medi-Cal side of our house. Turning now to welfare to work services, a couple of updates on the CalWORKS program. The first is that we recently got official notification from the state that in federal fiscal year 16-17, San Francisco had the fifth highest work participation rate, WPR, of all the 58 counties.